All right, welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. Richie, for the first time in the history of this show, podcast, YouTube channel, whatever you want to call this thing that we do here on Sundays, we are talking about an FSU win over Clemson, and it's in football. We've gotten to do this in other sports, but haven't had enough luck to be able to do this in football. And man, we'll talk about a lot of things today, but Florida State finds a way to win in Death Valley. First time since Jameis Winston was enrolled in your quarterback. And I still think I might be in a little bit of shock from it. Richie, what were your emotions like yesterday? And how many IPAs did you consume, maybe more importantly?
What a blast. Shout out to the Seminole Club of Greater Orlando. I went to American Social. We only stayed for the first quarter, and I still ring up like a $90 bill somehow. That's ridiculous. But, you know, had a Bloody Mary to start, a couple IPAs, got home, settled in on the couch, and enjoyed the game, man. It was a weird game, much like last week, but, you know, I was never stressed. Like Florida State didn't feel out of it. The game was always in reach, and yeah, man, it was just an exciting, exciting game. Fitting Keon Coleman, you know, Dabo refuses to use the transfer portal. And Mike says, hey, let me get my transfer quarterback and my transfer wide receiver to beat you guys in overtime. Just what a day. And we talked about this before the season, TJ. If you could just get out of September 3-1, you feel pretty good. Now you're leaving September 4-0. Man, the path to the playoff is very, very real right now. And some of these opponents look a little tougher coming up down the slate. But man, 4-0 in September, wins over LSU and Clemson. What a great month to open the football season for Florida State.
Yeah, and I think, you know, big picture, we'll talk about the game here in a little bit. But I think big picture, what you've done is you kind of presented the season or you stepped into the season kind of thinking like, okay, just what you said, go 3-1. It is really hard to have the best two wins in college football right now. But Florida State has that. They have that over a top five team and then another team that very likely is a favorite against maybe everybody outside of the top 12 or 14 or so. You know, Clemson should probably be around the top 20 team, even with the two losses to very highly ranked conference opponents. And so, you know, you wanted to get out of the first month of the season at 3-1, worst case. But if you'd have done that, your margin for error was zero. And now what you probably have against the back half of the slate that looks a little tougher than you maybe thought it was to start the year, you have a little bit of margin for error. You know, you have a little bit of a chance to maybe stub your toe here or there. It's not over by any means. Now, I'm not trying to say that Florida State's going, they're going to be a favorite in the next 9 games that they play. I'm putting them in Charlotte as of today. But they're going to be a favorite in all 9 games. There will not be a scenario where they're not, right? Everything's at home. Pitt's terrible. And then Florida at the end of the year, you're going to be a favorite going into that game outside of some kind of catastrophic injuries. But you know, as long as you don't do something absolutely horrendous, I mean, you have the opportunity to slip up. And you should be able to play a little bit looser. And you probably know that if you continue to win, you have a very good chance of playing in the playoff very close to Tallahassee and maybe not having to go out to the West Coast. But, yeah, Richie, there's a lot to be done. You're only a third of the way through the season. You're through your toughest third of the season. But the path to spending New Year's in either Southern California or back in New Orleans, where we've had a lot of success here recently, seems like there's a really good chance for it. So Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations, 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. Hopefully you guys watching enjoyed yesterday. Hopefully you enjoy this victory lap that we're about to take today. Shout out Guthrie's. We had a great time out at the tailgate, a great time hanging out with a bunch of you guys. My guy Kenny Shaw came through. Michaela was out there. My guy Clemson Tom was out there. Michaela Edenfield. So we had fun. I'm tired, Richie. I'm ready to go take a nap after we. It's not a nap at 6 p.m., man. It's just bed. So,
no, so yeah, just going to bed.
After this. I watched like 4 minutes of NFL and then I just like went to sleep. So But anyway, all right. So you talked about this, but game never really out of hand. But it did feel, I think my biggest takeaway is, you know, Florida State didn't play a great game by any means. I'm arguing with a buddy, going back and forth. I mean, I could see arguments for Florida State playing a B minus or C plus type game. It's crazy to think that you could go into Death Valley and play a C plus or B minus type game and still come out with the win. But there were a couple of times, Richie, where they certainly had you on the ropes. And, you know, we'll talk about the Kalen DeLoach play. We'll talk about the other couple of times that they were up double digits early in the game and then right before halftime, and Florida State had to answer. And I think that's what it was. You weren't at your sharpest. You weren't at your best. But big picture, you took the punches, and you never let it get so far out of hand. And they did a tremendous job of responding yesterday.
Yeah, it was a heavyweight bout, right? You know, exchanging haymakers. And, you know, to what we both said, it was never out of hand. But when you're down 10-0, you're like, all right, guys, come on, let's wake up. And then they did, and they responded. And that's what this team has done. They just respond. Even against Boston College last week, when half the team had the flu, that's what this team did. They responded when they needed to. They went up 21 points. Boston College roared back, but it didn't matter. You know, go back to the LSU game in Orlando here. And, you know, Florida State didn't really turn it on until the fourth quarter. But that's what this team is going to be, I think. I don't want to compare it to the 2014 team, because I thought that team was kind of a little lazy. Like, okay, we'll do what we have to do when we have to do it. But no, this team, I like where Florida State is. I like that we have a bye week coming up. I like the schedule coming up, Virginia Tech, Duke, et cetera. I think Duke is a statement game, which is wild to say in college football, not college basketball. But yeah, Virginia Tech worries me not at all. Duke doesn't worry me either, really, because they just don't have the athletes to man up against Florida State. They're a really good team, really good football team, really well coached. They just can't compete with us. And it's what's exciting, TJ, is what can this season be? Because now, you know, I think heading into the season, we thought, yeah, playoff is definitely a possibility. Now, is it playoff or bust? I think that's where I'm at.
You know, we even talked about that after LSU. We talked, is there a chance that it's already playoff or bust, right? Because at that point, you kind of were thinking, okay, we'll just split with Clemson, you know, if you play them twice. And you mentioned you might have at this point knocked them out of ACC contention. Louisville looks really good. Duke obviously looks really good. You know, Duke, UNC, Miami looks good just to start. You know, I will say all those teams kind of play each other, so that's going to make it tough, you know, down the stretch. And so maybe Clemson could jump back into it, you know, if they kind of run the table in the ACC and there's kind of a melee chaos everywhere else. But yeah, Florida State would really have to falter to not make it. You know, I think a scenario would be like Louisville goes undefeated and you lose to Duke would be the most likely scenario of you not making it. Or you know, same thing could happen. Miami could run the table, which I just don't expect. They play too many good teams. And I think Texas A&M is a fraud, so I don't think it really matters. But, yeah, I mean, you just put yourself in such great position for the rest of the year. And you really set yourself up better than we could have imagined. We all – well, maybe not. You picked them to go 4-0, so I'll give you a little bit of love. But, yeah, even then
– I did pick us to lose the Pitt. I'm taking that back. I'm taking it back right now.
That's 12-0 at this point. So, anyway, yeah, okay. So, on the game – I don't think you can – we're not sitting here excited and jacked up and in a good mood if it's not for Tatum Bethune. And I know – I'm sorry, Kalen DeLoach. Kalen, sorry. Yeah. Tatum, I love you too. But Tatum was laying some wood. I know Keon made the play. I know Jordan, you know, had to have the throw. I know Johnny made some big catches. But I'll tell you, my neighbor saw me pulling in, and he watches some of our shows. And so he lives two doors down. He ran around the cul-de-sac to where I was getting out of the car today when I got back from the airport. And he was like, man, what was it like when Kalen forced the fumble, picked it up and brought it back? And I said, man, it was, and I don't know if you felt like this, but it was so, like, I was so down in the dumps because they had just run off. They had just, you know, a couple plays earlier, they had just torn off that long run to get down in scoring position. And there were what there was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter or something. I mean, you know, 18, 20 minutes left in the game. And I'm thinking, man, they're about to go up by two scores. And I don't think we can do it. If they go up two scores here, I think we're in
trouble. They score there, they win. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you'd imagine both teams get two more possessions, so you'd need to go 4-0 on those possessions. You'd need to score both times, and you need to stop them both times. And that just didn't seem like something that was realistically going to happen, you know? And that's hard in any college football where you say you got to play a perfect fourth quarter, and you're going to need them to stumble a little bit. So I was pretty – you know, I'll just tell you, I was pretty low before Kalen did that. I was thinking, like, man, we're in trouble. We're not winning this game, you know? I mean, this sucks. You know, we fought hard. We were close. And when he – man, I was – we sat next to God because they screwed the boosters and gave, you know, boosters like up in the eighth level or whatever. So, you know, anyway. But we were – as crappy as our seats were, we were sitting like on a line from it. Like, if, you know, a straight – like if you could have drawn a straight line from where Kalen blitzed to Cade to way high, us. So, I mean, I did have – I wouldn't say the perfect view because it was pretty small – but I could see perfectly like him coming on that blitz at that angle because we were up in that end zone corner. And I kept thinking Cade would get it out on time. I was watching Kalen come and I was like, he's not going to get to him in time. He's going to release it just before.
I can't believe Cade did not see it coming. Like like watching on TV and you probably had the better view up in the, I've been in those seats and in the nosebleeds up there at Death Valley, but just seeing him, it was a slow developing play, but Kalen was moving, man. And the fact that he brought Cade down, he was down, you know, on his stomach, still gets up and recovers the fumble and takes it back for a touchdown. But yeah, man, that had to be such an amazing vantage point that you, TJ, had just seeing it play out, because you probably were sitting there like, Oh, yes, that's what exactly.
Well, it was just like, at first you're like, man, go make the hit because it knocks him out of field goal range. And then it's like, oh, wait, the ball's out. Maybe we could follow it there and they're not going to go up two scores. And then you see like Fisk go to grab it and you're like, okay, don't fall on the ball. No, pick it up and run. And so you went from being like so low to so high immediately that like people were saying, I had a buddy that met us up there. He was on this flight back with me. He's like, man, I was going crazy in that moment. And I was like, dude, I just sat there in shock. I was celebrating kind of, but I wasn't like running around doing, I was just sitting there like, oh my God.
Did that just happen?
No way did that just happen. And I'm telling you, that play, it's such recency bias. I get it. It was just a couple hours ago, but that play is going to go down as one of the legendary plays in Florida State football.
Like, if the season turns out the way we hope it does, absolutely.
I mean, even if the season, like, even if you stumble and you went like 11-1 or you just missed the playoffs somehow, whatever, I'm telling you, man, like to get the Clemson monkey off your back and like that play is going to go down. That's like the verse block against LSU last year that really started things. That is, you know, like some of the Dalvin Miami touchdowns that you just remember forever. That's like, you know, I'm not putting it up there with the catch by KB or anything like that, but that play is up there for Florida.
That's the Marcus Walker block at the rock.
Yes, absolutely, man. That's the punt Ruski. That is the punt Ruski right there in Clemson. Same thing, man. Like that is that level of play. And again, it's recency bias because it just happened yesterday. I get it, but you're always going to remember that. The fact it was Clowney. It was Jadeveon Clowney. But he finished the play right. You know, Clowney couldn't get up and run. But he actually. To force the fumble, to come on the blitz and do that, it was so impressive. So, okay.
Shout out Rob DeLoach, man. He had to be such a proud father in that moment there.
Did you see his picture? Did you see his picture that Charles Mays took where he's holding up the 4 and then he tweeted 4-0? Phenomenal. Okay, I want to talk about the defense a little bit. The defense gave up scores on the first three of the first four drives. They did hold to a field goal one time, and then they got the stop on the very first drive of the game. And I don't have a lot to say about the defense, but I will tell you, they do a really good job of adjusting at halftime. As much crap as we want to give the defense and the defensive staff and the defensive coordinator for an opening game plan and playing soft in the secondary and just everything else. I didn't think the D-line played well in the first half from a passing against the pass attack. I mean, I thought they held up against the run pretty well all game. But, man, they adjusted really well. I mean, the defense was a net zero in the second half. And so when you can score 7 and you only give up 7, even if they hadn't scored the 7 points themselves, you only give up 7 points in on the road in the ACC to the Kings of the conference, you know, that's impressive. You know, I don't care at all. I think that's really, really good. And then obviously the fact that you scooped and scored, it reminded me of Derrick Brooks in 2002, Richie, when, you know, it seemed like every week he was in the end zone for the Bucks. But, you know, as much crap as you want to give the defense, as much you want to talk about Fuller this, Fuller that, I mean, they showed up yesterday. And at the end of the day, the defense gave up 17 points essentially, right? Gave up 24, but they scored seven. It's hard to – if I'd have told you the defense is going to be a net 17, you'd have taken that all day, twice on Sunday, everything else against Clemson. I think that's really, really impressive. You know, you think about this, Richie. The defense gave up 17 points to LSU. And then another touchdown in garbage time, which I won't, you know, I don't really count that. And then was a net 17 at Clemson. And it's not always pretty. They play bend, don't break. Other teams are going to get a lot of yards on FSU, and it's going to continue to frustrate FSU fans, without a doubt. But it's hard to not be fairly impressed with what this defense has done. Again, last week, I think the defense against Boston College, you know, gave up probably a little too much. I think they really gave up 22, not 29, because obviously the fumble six or whatever. But you think about that, they've given up 17, 22, and 17 in three Power Five performances. That's really not bad, you know, if that's kind of the way you look at it. So maybe, you know, I'm not ready to say that this defense is elite by any means, but maybe a little bit of credit Adam Fuller's way and towards this defensive staff and defensive unit.
The year is 2023, TJ. Like, no defense is just going to clamp you down and stop any offense. Like, Georgia's not even that. And if any team was, it would be Georgia or Alabama. Shout out to them holding Ole Miss to 10 points. That was impressive. But, yeah, man, I'm way, way, way in the back of the line of the fire Adam Fuller train. I think he's been fine. I think he's been a really good defensive coordinator. And like you said, bend, don't break. And this Clemson team, they recruit extremely well. They don't have the receivers that they used to have, right? We talked about that Wednesday night in our preview show. And if you watch this, you know, TJ and I, we kind of know ball. But the fact is, they do not recruit at that level anymore, but they still have really good players. And I'm very happy with Adam Fuller. Like, I'm far... far away from the fire Fuller train. I think he's done a phenomenal job, you know, and is it going to be enough to win a national championship? That's our goal. That's what we hope. I don't know. Probably not right now, but they can still improve. This defense put out that performance without Akeem Dent, who might be one of the more important pieces to this defense that we did not realize heading into the season. You know, I think if we had Akeem Dent, I don't know what happens, but Will Shipley is a very good running back. And you kind of, I'm not going to say you shut him down. You know, he still did some things in the passing game, but you kind of shut him down in the running game. And that was really good to see. And again, we have plenty of time for Florida State to grow, learn, watch film, and see what happens next. But yeah, man, I thought Adam Fuller was just fine and the defense was just fine. And they have been all year, in my opinion.
Yeah. It, you know, again, we're going to play that bend don't break. And I get frustrated with it in games. I know the fans get frustrated with it in games, but that's what this defense is going to do. There is no shutdown defense anymore. There is no maybe college. Georgia plays about the best in the country, but that's more of just talent athletes and they don't play anybody else. But there is no shutdown Bucks 2002, Ravens 2000, you know, defense. Like, that just doesn't exist, right? Florida State 2013, where your opponents average 11 points a game, like, that crap just doesn't happen anymore. You know, not in this day and age. And so you're going to play bend don't break. They are phenomenal in the red zone, and they're really phenomenal coming out of the second half. Fuller does a really good job adjusting. I don't know if he kind of maybe this is pretty tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, but I don't know if he white man can't jump, right? Like, if he kind of like hustles him a little bit the first half, you know, like doesn't show his card so that he can make the adjustments in the second half. Like, I don't think they're taking the first half by any means. That's kind of being silly. But I do think that there's an aspect of like not showing all of your cards, knowing that your offense is going to be good and keep you in games. And then you really bring it there in the second half so that they can't go to the locker room and adjust. I don't think that's a terrible strategy. Now, obviously, yeah, I'd like us to just not give up anything. But if you think about it from that perspective of, you know, they're waiting to see how Clemson's strategy and offensive attack and things are going to look, I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit to that. So, all right, Erica on Venmo sent $31.24. So she's our leader for today. Harlan, we need like 3 super chats. I'm in a really good mood today. So let's roll.
Put a smile on your face. There you go. Okay, because Florida State, if we gonna do it, then we do it big. Let's go, baby.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
The Knowles did win.
What a fun one, man. Some of Jeff's calls are great from yesterday. I've seen the official accounts and stuff putting that out. At the end of the day, your defense gives up 17 against LSU, gives up 22 against Boston College. That's the weird one for sure. And then gives up 17 as a net against Clemson. You'll take that all day, right? So I think that that's – kind of, yeah, we mentioned Georgia. I know you're upset about Fuller in the comments there, KH, but you mentioned one elite defense. So let's not,
one out of 130.
Yeah, let's not go crazy. Get this person out of here. Good. What are we doing? Okay, let's talk about this. Run game struggling a little bit, Richie. I don't know that I'm ready to hit the panic button just yet on it, but I do know that Clemson's got a really elite front. And, you know, I was kind of getting frustrated with some of the second down calls. It seemed like we were very predictable on second down, and just about every second and long that existed, we were going to run the ball. And I know Mike wants to run the ball. I know that's kind of what his offensive identity is. I struggle with it a little bit because it is just so predictable. Now, at the same time, you're playing to shorten the game. You're doing it for some different reasons. But man, Clemson was really kind of manhandling you up front,
yeah,
with light boxes. Like I would look down and I'd say, man, there's 5 in the box. Okay, like I'm okay with a run here, and we get like 2 yards, and so it just, you know, I don't know how well you can really tell, you know, just thinking back like from the camera, but I mean, sitting up in the sky, you know, it's really easy to see like, oh man, 5 in the box, here's a good time for a run, and so we would run it there, and we just, you know, so sometimes you have to execute, right? Now I'm not saying that Mike doesn't need to change things up if the execution is lacking, but run game just doesn't seem like it's there, and it wasn't there against BC. It really wasn't, you know, Southern Miss, you're just so much better than, you know, I don't think the run game was phenomenal against LSU. But at the end of the day, you've got some games here coming up to be able to fix that. But where's your concern level there, Rich?
I think I'm a little higher than you, TJ, in the concern level. You know, this is a good offensive line. And, you know, I love Trey Benson, Rodney Hill, Lawrence O'Philly. You have Keziah Holmes. You have a stable back there, but they've not really been able to get the ground game going. We'll see what happens. I think Virginia Tech is kind of a get-right game where you can kind of do whatever you want, and you don't really need to worry about what happens because you're going to win that game. Duke, similar, but you have to respect Duke. They are a well-coached team, very good team. We'll see what happens. I just think I'd feel a lot better if we could show that we can just line it up and run the ball. But at the same time, I'm okay, TJ, if we just say, hey, we're just going to throw the ball all around the field.
Everybody.
Because I think we're capable of doing that. When you have the weapons we have, you know, from the receivers, you know, Wilson, Keon, Jaheim Bell, Morlock, you know, Destin Hill hasn't even really introduced himself into the college football world yet. And we know what he's capable of. So I it's weird because I want to be able to run the ball, but I'm also confident that we can win a lot of football games this season just throwing the ball all over the place.
Yeah, I think teams will have a very tough time guarding against us. I think you also, like you said, you know, you have to run even when it's not effective, and I hate this, but you have to run at times to pull them up. And if there's 5 people in the box, man, like that makes it really tough on Jordan to be able to throw the ball effectively. And so you've got to run a little bit to keep pulling them up, to keep bringing them up to the line of scrimmage and put more guys in the box so that you do have more favorable matchups out there. If they're able to put 5 in the box and they can stop your run with that, man, you know, that's why you only scored 24 points in regulation, because they do have a good defense. And so I have concerns. I understand that you're not going to play another defense like that this year. You're not going to play another defense as good as LSU's this year. And probably the next best defensive line that you're going to see this season is going to be Florida's. And we'll see kind of what their interest level in continuing to play at a high level is that late in the year when maybe they're fighting for a bowl, maybe they're fighting for 500, maybe that's kind of what it looks like. But I mean, they had 20 rushing attempts, so they certainly Jordan had 37 pass attempts, he had 20 rushing attempts, so you certainly, you know, were more pass heavy. You know, being down some of the game dictated that. You obviously weren't running the ball a lot there late. But, I mean, they stuck with it, couldn't get anything going. You know, you finished just literally over, you know, you had that one long by Trey for 12 yards, and outside of that, you were getting less than a yard a clip. It was a frustrating one, but again, I think you've got some opponents where you can kind of get some things cleaned up and get things kind of going our way. So, hey, I just saw we had a member join. I appreciate that. Who was that? I missed it. Harlan, I was going to give him a little shout out here. What's the name there? I might have already jumped back up. James, thanks for the love. Thanks for joining the channel. Certainly not a requirement for anybody in here, but thank you guys for the love and appreciate all that you guys do to support us. Hey, if you are supporting us, make sure you're supporting Garnet & Gold as well. GarnetandGold.com, use code NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W, for 15% off. Also, listen, I said this. Richie, I got that quarter zip from the Battle's End.
Yes, sir.
I wore that the other day. I wore that to the game, so I'm 1-0 in that so far. It was great. It was a little warm, but I will say it kept the sun off my arms because, again, I was sitting right next to the sun, so I kind of needed it. But that quarter zip from the Battle's End quarter zip, phenomenal. Make sure that you guys are supporting the Battle's End. I sent $31 yesterday to the Battle's End. Maybe I should have done $31.24. That'd have been fun. But $31 to the Battle's End after a 31-point win. I think that's kind of a fun thing to do. You know, you're riding the emotional high. You talk about how big of a fan you are, a big supporter you are. If you support our show or our channel or anything like that, make sure that you're supporting the Battle's End as well, because we need more guys like Keon Coleman in there. Richie, you mentioned this, but it was poetic justice that Keon Coleman was the one that caught the touchdown. You know, people saying the portal wasn't going to factor into this game. Isaac, thank you for becoming a member as well. Appreciate that. Look at all these members. Thorne, did somebody buy it? Did somebody buy the membership thing, or like where they gift them or whatever? I didn't see it, but shout out to you guys that are joining. We appreciate it a ton. But Keon Coleman is the hero. Man, Johnny Wilson, as much as this fan base, you guys are fickle, man, and I love you, but you guys are very fickle, and you guys were ready to send Johnny Wilson up the river and get rid of him and just say, you know, let Kentron or Destin Hill or Winston Wright be, you know, your wide receiver too. You don't win that game without Johnny Wilson.
Johnny played a great game.
94 yeah. yards on 5 catches. Obviously, Keon with 86 on 5 catches. He had the winner. Johnny Wilson was big for you. Johnny Wilson gave you a chance at the end of regulation by catching 2 huge balls, one on a 3rd and 10, one on that left sideline. Neither one of them were perfect throws. He had to go down and get the one on the 3rd and 10, and then he also had the one on the sideline that was a little bit out in front of him. Went and got both of them. Makes the tough catches look pretty easy. Johnny and Keon, two guys out of the portal that absolutely brought it yesterday. And again, I love to see where Johnny Wilson was and how he has rebounded the last 2 weeks after having a very tough game against Southern Miss. You guys were ready to send him back to Arizona State. I get it. But, man, that kid has responded. And this duo of Wilson and Coleman are absolutely elite.
Oh, my gosh, man. We are so lucky to have a Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman side by side. I cannot imagine being a defensive coordinator and seeing, like, all right, this Johnny Wilson guy, he's 6'7", and I got to deal with this Keon Coleman dude too? Like, what the hell, man? Like, that's just unfair. And they both came to play. They both did what they were expected to do. You know, Johnny had a rough outing against Boston College. Let's call it what it is. We saw it. We all watched that. But then he came back, and to your point, the play down the left sideline where he just reaches his hands out and catches the ball, like, that was an NFL catch right there. I think Florida State has a phenomenal, you know, stable of wide receivers. And, you know, there's other players that would start for most ACC teams, TJ. We just happen to have a loaded receiver room, and I love it because Keon Coleman, man, when he made that catch in overtime, like, I expected it, but to see it happen, it was just – you know, so fulfilling. What a great play. Great throw by Jordan. Jordan just showing the trust that he has in Keon and Johnny earlier in the fourth quarter. It just phenomenal. And again, this could be a special season. We're only a quarter of the way through, or a third of the way through now, but this could be special, TJ.
It's fun to watch. And then again, I know there's some Fuller haters in the comments. You guys are welcome to continue to hate what's been an effective so far defense. But man, shout out that defense in overtime, Richie. When we caught the touchdown, here was my thought. Listen, I'm confessing. I didn't go to church today because I was on a flight, but I'll have confessional here with y'all. When we caught that touchdown, man, I'm such a pessimist when I'm at games. I thought, okay, they're going to score. That's fine. They score. Then we don't get the ball first. Like, then they get the ball first, and we'll score again, and we'll go for two. We'll go for two in the win on the road. We'll roll the dice, and we'll win this thing the second overtime or whatever. Well, they shut me up. Four plays. And after giving up – I'm telling you this. After giving up 8 yards early to get it to third and two, it was really a short play. Man, phenomenal out on that screen. I thought they got a generous spot there. And then Pat Payton, you know, getting – I thought the defensive line at times wasn't very good. I think that they stepped up when they had to. They were good against the run outside of, you know, Phil Moffitt had that long run. But I think they were pretty good at times, man, that second half and overtime. And getting the deflection, watching – I mean, I'm sure you guys have all seen it, you know. But watching Norvell celebrate after and jump up and down and pump his fist. And I mean, it reminded me of that LSU win last year where it was just, it was almost just like a massive exhale. It was like a, okay, got that monkey off our back. Like, let's roll, let's go party. Just phenomenal to see the defense step up in the fourth quarter and overtime. Again, we talked about the defense a little bit. What were your? I'll transition real quick. I think I've already, you know, we've talked about the defense a bunch, but what were your thoughts on that kid from Clemson was lining up for that field goal at the end of the game? Let's do that.
Yeah, man. We talked about it Wednesday in the previous show, right? How they just called this guy off the golf course in Charleston, said, "Hey, come kick for me." You know, I don't know. Like it was just exactly what I expected. What you would think would happen when you call a guy who says, "Oh, I haven't kicked a football in months. Let me go find a football real quick." And he goes and finds one. He's like, "Oh, I'm ready to go." Yeah, that's exactly what you expect. And it is what it is, you know, in Florida State. I just feel like this game for Florida State, we've been waiting for this, right? Like you mentioned, 7 games in a row. My goodness, that's embarrassing to lose to Clemson. And we still own the head-to-head record, by the way, because let's not forget that. We still own Clemson. But yeah, man, when he missed that field goal, I just thought it was hilarious because it was so on script. Like, you know, there was a joke last year about the NFL, like, "Oh, you didn't read the script. You didn't read the script." Well, this was on script. And with him miss that, we go to overtime and Florida State wins. Just a lovely, lovely Saturday afternoon.
Sure was a lot of fun. Man, all right, let's talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what's upcoming, what's next. A lot of you guys are commenting in the chat, and I've seen you guys ask a bunch of questions. There are so many people in the chat today, so many haters as well. Shout out to you guys for tuning in. We'll read your comments if you hit the super chat button, and if you have questions that need to be answered, feel free to do that. All right, you really couldn't ask for any more. You wrote this, Richie, 4-0 in September. There are people who are negative, and there are people who are somehow down on this team. I don't even think this team has looked very good. I think they've looked very good at stretches. I think they looked really good defensively yesterday in the second half. I think they looked good offensively in spots. I think the offense needs to clean some stuff up. But you were also playing a really good Clemson defense. Like, you shouldn't be shocked that Clemson played good defense in Death Valley. I mean, come on. So you also have a quarterback that's a little bit banged up and a running game that just hasn't gotten going yet. You looked really good for a stretch in that Boston College game. You looked really good for most of the Southern Miss game, and then you obviously looked really good for the entire second half against LSU. Man, we haven't played super well No. We're still 4-0, and we have the best two wins in the country. Now the bye week comes at a perfect time, and I listened to Bud this morning on the flight back and his Winston reaction. And I didn't really think about this, but you have the bye week, and then you play Virginia Tech, and then you play Syracuse, and then Duke comes to town. And, you know, I know how we looked against Boston College. I get that. But you really have 28 days before you play a team with a pulse, right? I don't care what happened against BC. You have zero chance of losing to Virginia Tech or Syracuse at home. In fact, you're going to kill those teams coming off of a bye week. I'm just telling you. And so you really have a long time until you play a team that is capable of beating you. Now, I certainly don't think that Duke wins, but you've got a lot of time to fix some things. You got a lot of time to get Jordan back healthy. You got a lot of time to maybe get some other pieces back, whether that be Akeem, Ja'Kai, Kentron, Robert Scott, any of those guys, or all of them, right? And so you've got some time to kind of get it done. And if you can get those guys back and maybe go into that Duke game, which could be a highly rated game. We'll see how they play against Notre Dame here in a couple of weeks. But get everybody back for that Duke game, and you're kind of ready to go, and you're finishing up October 7-0, 8-0. I think that's kind of where your season will really be measured. I think you've got, you know, the bye week and then two kind of gimmies to really get things going. And, you know, Bud said this too. I hate to be so, you know, just repeating what he said, but he kind of almost likened it to a second preseason. You know, I know it's not quite the preseason because, you know, those are still Power 5 teams, but I'm telling you, those programs are awful and we're going to beat the crap out of them. And so we could play an F game in both of them and still, I think, win by 10. Play a C game and I think you win by like 20. Play A+, and I think you probably blow them out, and, you know, the game's never in doubt. So, man, you made it through a tough stretch, and now the schedule sets up really, really well for you down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's all you could ask for, right? Like we mentioned, we said earlier in the show, we would have taken 3-1 coming out of September. You're 4-0. Okay, now you still have your mulligan left, and you might lose the game. Florida State's probably going to lose the game in the regular season. I don't know who they will lose to, but it's likely they will lose to somebody. But if you go 11-1, go to Charlotte and get to 12-1, you're in the playoff at that point. Unless some really weird things happen, you are in the playoff. And that's all we could ask for. And as a Florida State fan, man, what a season this is going to be, because we are going to be on the edge of our seats every single weekend from the rest of the season. Like you mentioned, Duke, that's a tough game. Miami's a tough game. Florida could be a tough game. But for the most part, I don't see a team that's really, you're walking in saying, man, if we don't have our A+ game, we're going to lose this game. No, you could bring your C+ game like we did yesterday against Clemson and beat anybody left on the schedule. And that's where we're at. And I'm good being right there, TJ.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you. I don't think we're losing a regular season game. You could, but I got 12-0. And then I got us winning in Charlotte. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you certainly could trip up. But, you know, what I think this team does really well is they understand the moment. And they don't get too high, too low. They do a good job of responding. You know, down 10 yesterday. And, shoot, I thought we were going to lose, you know, the play before Kalen got us the touch. So, I'll go 12-0. I think it's interesting to see who we're going to play, man. Louisville looks good. Their path looks pretty easy. You know, again, Duke, Miami, North Carolina all play each other. And so whoever survives that or Louisville would be my guess, right? I think Duke plays Louisville as well. So Louisville's not like completely out of the woods as far as a football schedule goes or an ACC schedule goes. But at this point, Florida State would, you know, again, you drop to Duke, you drop some games, like, it could get challenging. Louisville plays on Friday night in Raleigh. You know, I watched that. I watched NC State on Friday night with our guy Hunter. I didn't think they looked very good, but weird things happened in Raleigh. But then Louisville plays Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh terrible. Louisville gets Duke at home, and then they play Virginia Tech and Virginia. Both those teams are terrible. And then they play Miami at the end of the year. That Louisville-Miami game could have some ACC title game implications on it. Obviously, Florida State can do themselves a favor by knocking, you know, if Florida State beats Duke, I really
– it's a wrap.
I don't think there are too many scenarios where you could miss it. At that point, you beat Duke. All you have left is Wake Forest, who is god-awful terrible, and Miami. So, I mean, in theory, you could even lose – you could drop that Miami game and you'd still very likely be fine. And the only scenario where you'd maybe be in trouble is if Louisville ran the table at that point. But that's assuming that Miami hasn't lost to Duke and lost to UNC. Like, there are going to be ACC losses out there for those teams because they all play each other. And Florida State's schedule stays pretty clean. You have your toughest two remaining games, I believe, Miami and Duke at home. And then, you know, what, you know, I think you go beat Florida, but that doesn't matter for Charlotte at all, obviously. And so, yeah. Schedule sets up really, really well. I think the expectation at this point has to be 12-0. You know, and then you need to go win in Charlotte, especially if you're not playing Clemson. I think Clemson is going to be a really good team by the end of the year. I think they are figuring some stuff out. I think they do look a lot better right now than what they did look. But yeah, I think it's good that you probably aren't playing Clemson at the end of the year. Cause I don't like rematches and this program hasn't liked rematches a lot in the past. So, all right, a couple quick notes and then we can try and get out of here before 7 o'clock. Jordan Travis breaks Chris Winkie's all-time record for touchdowns accounted for. What a turnaround. You know, he's played for what now 2.5 years under Mike Norvell, or 2 years in three games. Maybe it's right at 2 full years under Mike Norvell. You think about the COVID year and, you know, being sick and everything else when he's missed games. But to break Winkie's record is absolutely ridiculous. There's a kid that 3 years ago was trying to, you know, or thinking about quitting football. And now he's the all-time touchdown leader at Florida State University, a place that housed, you know, Dalvin Cook and Chris Winkie and Jameis Winston and Charlie Ward and Peter Warwick and some real legends. You know, the guy that they literally named the wide receiver MVP after in Fred Blinnikoff, housed some absolute legends. And Jordan Travis stands above them all with the most touchdowns in program history. Absolutely incredible. Could not happen for a better kid. And he's going to run that up. You know, he's going to go well over 100, and that record is going to stand for a long, long time. Guys don't stay around and play at a high, high level like that anymore. There's no four-year dudes much anymore. So shout out Jordan Travis. Take that thing to triple digits. Let's get there real soon. Go get you like 6 against who we play now, Virginia Tech, and get out in the first half and let's keep rolling. So shout out JT for that one. That was cool to see. And to do that on a game-winning touchdown in overtime in Death Valley, you're glad that that didn't come against like Virginia Tech in the third quarter or something. Like, it's really special the way they did it.
Yeah, man, Jordan Travis is a guy. Shout out David Hale, right, from ESPN. Phenomenal article he wrote about Jordan Travis, how he almost quit football. He wanted to give it up. He said, maybe I'll play wide receiver, right? And Kenny Dillingham and Mike Norvell said, no, you're a quarterback. And now here he is. He's going to be in New York City, in my opinion. First weekend of December, this man will be in New York City because he's going to be 12-0, 13-0, maybe. I don't know. And I just love what Jordan Travis has become. His brother Devin is a Florida State legend as well, man. That the Travis family is just Florida State greatness through and through. And I just love what they've done. And I think Jordan Travis, he's not done yet. I think this man is going to do some special, special things for Florida State.
I'm excited for it. You know, obviously it's been fun watching him. It's been fun watching him grow. But man, it's pretty wild. So, okay. Did you watch any other college football? Did you just finish up and wrap up with ours, or did you see Florida struggle with Charlotte? Was that enjoyable for you at all?
No, I saw Florida. They were impressive. They scored one touchdown against Charlotte. That was really impressive. Good for Florida. Graham Mertz is the exact player I thought he was. How about the Dolphins scoring 70 today? That was ridiculous.
Yeah, just absolutely hilarious, absolutely insane. They, you know, you remember the old, who was it? Dennis Allen. They are who we thought we were, or they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
You know, UF fans got really, really hyped up about beating a god awful Tennessee team, and they loved the fact that we played.
Joe Milton's trash, by the way.
Yeah. Just loved the fact that we played BC close. You know, Florida fans were writing off Florida State. They were writing off Alabama last week. That dynasty was over. And all of a sudden, Alabama comes out and looks fine. And Florida scores one touchdown against Charlotte.
Kicked a bunch of field goals, though. Good for them.
Kicked a lot of field goals. Shout out that field goal kicker, man. Prayers up for his – I know his leg is tired after tonight. I know that he wasn't expecting to have to kick that many field goals against – yesterday going into the game, people were saying, oh, Charlotte's better than you think. Like, yeah, I saw the people on the timeline say, oh, Charlotte's actually better than you think. They were ranked 129th out of 130.
Oh, God.
In college football, according to ESPN's S&P Plus, which is opponent adjusted.
Yeah.
Of course. So I think they'll move up a little bit after, only losing to Florida by 15. But, you're dealing with a team that's like 130th out of 100 or 129th. Sorry, I don't mean to slight Charlotte. 129th out of 133 teams is pretty god awful. So, man, it feels good to go into the bye week undefeated. It feels good to, to not have any worries at this point. Yeah. People worried about rankings. I'm not worried about rankings. I don't care. I don't care that we're fifth. These rankings. Okay, so I actually was speaking. Okay, Rich, let's talk about this and we'll go. Shout out Graham Co. Go to thegrahamco.com. Use code TJ25 and get 25% off there. Quick love to them, and then we'll keep rolling. But I don't care about the rankings. You look at the AP poll. You look at the coaches poll. For those that don't matter, I think those are – obviously, all rankings are very subjective. But I think that when you've got a ranking system that is kind of a like a scatter plot is maybe the best way to say it, because you know the way the AP and the coaches poll works is everybody votes on it, and then based on where you are, like it's this guy's opinion. When the only thing that matters is the college football playoff rankings,
yeah.
And so because that's one definitive ranking, it's not like a poll of mixed results or whatever. So don't care about the rankings. I don't care about being fifth. If you care about rankings, Florida struggled with Charlotte yesterday and moved up three spots in the rankings. So. It doesn't matter at this point. I like that Florida State's a top five team. They're top five recruiting program right now. They're the best team in the state. They're one of the best teams in the country. And if you're getting upset about rankings, then go watch the replay of the game again and tell me if you're still upset. So any thoughts on the AP poll, coaches poll, Richie?
Yeah, irrelevant. The rankings, they matter in October when the college football playoff rankings come out. But the good thing about college football – just take care of business on the field. The rankings work themselves out. And that's where Florida State is. Just keep winning and they will be just fine. So I'm not worried in the least bit right now.
Nope. It's if you guys want to be concerned, when you got too much going in your life and like you ain't got time for the negativity or drama or haters, like that's what I feel like. I had too much going good in my life right now to be worried about.
Yeah.
What a bunch of old men vote, Florida State at. I saw
but shout out to that one douchebag who ranked Florida State 22nd.
He fixed it. Did you see he fixed it?
I don't care.
But he still has this set. He said like, okay, so it's like a pull-down thing. And so like when he clicked it he accidentally picked Florida. He flipped us in Florida. But he still has this at 7th, which is a little low.
Seven?
Yeah.
Again, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Everything takes care of itself as the season goes on. But 7th?
All right. I saw McMurphy had us 1. I spoke with Matt Baker this morning. He was on my flight, and he had us 2. So that's fine. We're getting some respect from
Reese has us 1.
I'll take it. Yeah. We still have the first place votes.
So yeah,
take that. All right. Hey, chat was hopping tonight. I saw you guys fighting with the one hater in there, and then I saw some Canes guys in there. Man, Miami's still getting to live that high for a couple more weeks, but. It's coming crashing down, just much like Wallet did. So, Richie, any shout outs, any closing thoughts before we start to wrap this thing down?
No, I'm just excited for the bye week. And man, this is where we wanted to be after the month of September for Florida State football fans. We are in a very good spot, y'all. And I cannot wait to see what the last two thirds of the season has.
Yeah, I think the Noles are in a great spot. I saw some questions about, are you worried about how they've played and not looking their best? Absolutely not. They've not looked their best, and they're 4-0 with wins against LSU and Clemson, not in Tallahassee. If you would have told me Florida State's going to play like a C-plus game and go into Death Valley and win earlier in this year, I'd take it. If you can win when you don't look great against good teams, my goodness, what is the potential level for this team? Now you're going to play some teams that you are way, way better than, and I think you kind of get some things fixed, get some things right. Hey, I think we got a recruiting video coming out in the next day or two. I know there's a lot of questions about visitors here, visitors there, decommits here, decommits there, wherever. Make sure that you guys are subscribed so you don't miss that. I know there were a lot of recruiting questions, but just didn't not the show for that. This is a Clemson recap. We weren't at home. We didn't have any visitors. So we will talk. We'll talk a little recruiting here in the next few days. No preview show this week, obviously, with there being no game. Nice to have a full week off. I like how a recruiting question comes in, like, as I say, hey, we'll do a recruiting video a couple of days. So shout out to y'all for the persistence. I love it. So, fun times at the tailgate yesterday. Again, if you go to a game and you don't come to the tailgate, I need you guys to fix that because we have a blast. We have a really good time out there. Shout out my boy Cameron that came out, had a great time. He's the best man at my wedding. Dude is a stud. He won't even hear this or see this. Maybe I'll clip it and send it to him, but because he just doesn't care. But had a great time out there. Appreciate all of you guys that come and join us. Based on what time that Virginia Tech game is, which that should be announced tomorrow around 1, we may do something for Virginia Tech. So I know you guys have been begging for that. I know my guy Josh in here has been begging for that. So if y'all are thinking about going to Virginia Tech, shoot me a message on social media. I should have that. If the game isn't at noon, I think we're probably going to do something. So if you want to be included in that, shoot me a message on social media, or you can email tj@doublefriesnoslaw.com, and I will try and get you info as we have it. But that would probably come out in the next couple of days. Like, game time gets announced tomorrow. I'll probably have something solid by like Tuesday at the latest. So hopefully you guys are coming to the tailgate for Virginia Tech if it happens. See if the ACC and ESPN screw us with a noon kickoff or not in 2 weeks. So, all right. Love you guys. Had fun tonight. Well over 300 people in here the whole time. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Helps the channel tremendously. I already know like 60% of you guys are not subscribed. I don't know why you guys watch every single week and you don't hit that button, but hit it for me this week. We're 4-0. We're never losing a game again. 10 wins in a row for the Noles. Talk to you later. Love y'all.